I'm not sure if you noticed that we have a new member in the worship team this morning, Agnes. Hallelujah. God is raising new people. And he's looking for you, your talent, your gifting. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited about that. So as I've been sharing about some prophetic insights about 2018 being the year of God imparting righteousness and justice, I want us to look a little closer on the power of the righteousness in the kingdom from the kingdom perspective and mindset. And I believe as we read the scriptures, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to release revelation, knowledge, and what this means and how we can operate in righteousness. So I'm thinking it's going to be a two-part series, and today is going to be like setting the foundation on that. And hopefully next week we'll close. So I'm just going to be reading some scriptures, the power of righteousness in the kingdom. Psalm 11:7 reads like this. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. The New Living Translation reads like this. For the righteous Lord loves justice. The virtuous will see his face. In Job 37:23. As for the Almighty, we cannot find him. He's excellent in power, in judgment, in abundant justice. He does not oppress. So, God is just, he's lawful, and he's righteous. This is one of the main things in his character, his nature, his essence, that he is righteous, he loves righteousness and justice. All the things that God does, all the things that God says, everything that God is based on his righteousness and his justice. All his actions, everything that we want to know and receive revelation from God, the foundation of all of that is his righteousness and his justice. And he is just. He is right. There's not wrong in him on anything that he says. And I want us to set our mind in this platform, because I believe it's going to help us to then know how also we can not just relate to him, but also how we can walk with him, understanding that everything that God is, does, and says is based on his righteousness and his justice. There's nothing wrong in him. Psalm 97:1 reads like this. 97:1. The Lord reigns. Another translation says God reigns. Other translations may say Jehovah or Yahweh. So, God also reigns, meaning that God is a king. Says the Lord reigns. So immediately in our mind, we should be thinking in a king, in a throne, in his power, in his government. So God reigns. God is a king. This scripture says, let the earth rejoice. Why the earth? Because we have a good king. God the creator as a king who reigns forever, exercising justice and righteousness. The earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. righteousness and justice are the foundation, the anchors where he sits in heaven. I thought it may be love. But no, the foundation of all actions, of all the things that God does, is righteousness and justice. And that's the foundation, that's the platform of the character of God. The main element is that he's righteous and he's just. So imagine God sitting in his throne, way up high, and the foundation of everything that he does, says, and is righteousness and is justice. And out of that flowed everything that he does, the government, all his plans, his purpose, all his desires for his creation and for us is founded in his righteousness, in his justice. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Therefore, everything also that God wants to do and does here on earth is based on his righteousness and his justice. We are introduced to know him when somebody speaks to us about his love, right? Yes or not? We don't have that concept of righteousness and justice. We just know that there's an emptiness in our heart, and therefore we want to experience the love of God. But as we're going to see, the love of God is an expression of his righteousness, and because he's just. So the power of righteousness in the kingdom. So God reigns. God is a king. He has a throne. And the foundation of that is righteousness and justice. Immovable. That's never going to change forever and ever. That's how he operates from the beginning till the end to eternity, based on righteousness and justice. His character. So we need revelation of kingdom citizenship as individuals, I believe. Because that's who our God is. He's a king, and he's righteous, and he's just. So, point number one on the power of righteousness in the kingdom, the foundation of the throne of God, is this, that he's right and that he's just. If we understand foundation of anything, then we will know how to build. Then we'll know materials. Then we will know how to edify, because we have revelation of foundation on the natural. And on the spiritual also, we need to have that understanding. Because when we know what the foundation is, that determines the what, how we build, how we edify, how we operate, how we can express the character of God through us, when we understand foundation. And that foundation of the throne of God is righteousness and justice. Psalm 89:14 talks about the same. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. So because he's righteous and he's just, the expression of that is that he extends mercy and love and compassion out of that foundation of righteousness. And therefore, the foundation of everything that God does is his righteousness and his justice. He is lawful. God is legal on everything that he does. He's not legalistic, okay? That's different, but he's legal. He abides by who he is, his character, his essence, which is his morals, his nature, his ethical qualities. Everything that God is based on the foundation of righteousness and justice. Number two, righteousness is the priority in the kingdom. We are establishing foundation of what I believe the Lord wants to reveal to us. Righteousness is the priority in the kingdom. Matthew 6:33, we all know this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. The New Living Translation reads, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. When we are operating in our position of righteousness, we are not looking for things that already belong to us in Christ. They are already have been given to us when we enter into the kingdom. And because God is right and he sees our new position before him, all of our needs, all the things that in the natural we occupy ourselves to look for, the kingdom says, I'm adding that. The king says, automatically those belong to you. So in the kingdom, the church who has a revelation that operates under this platform knows that all things are automatically added to us as we set the priorities straight in our life. In the word here, seek, doesn't mean that we are looking, where is the kingdom? Where is the kingdom? Because the kingdom is in us. The word means have an experience. Know the codes of how to operate in righteousness. Because God is righteous, the kingdom is founded in righteousness and justice. So righteousness is the priority in the kingdom. And the church is part of a kingdom. We are kingdom citizens, the kingdom of God that is. And the expression of that is that we walk according to righteousness and justice. Not of our own, but the one that God gives to us. And we want to see that in a minute. So, righteousness is a priority in the kingdom. God has one purpose, eternal purpose, and many plans to fulfill that purpose. And we need to prioritize. We need to set our life in line with what is the priority for God. And in the kingdom, the priority is righteousness. Walk in righteousness. Live a righteous life. And all of these things, all the rest of the things that you may need are added automatically to you. We don't have to worry. If we read the whole passage there on Matthew 6, he talks about the birds. He talks about the flowers. He talks about his creation. And on the top of all of that creation, you and I are the ones that needs to express the righteousness of God here on earth. Number three, in Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. New creation, a new man. This scripture says that was creating according to God. Number three, righteousness is a main gene of our new nature. Pay attention here that God points out first righteousness as a main element of our new creation. This is because man, Adam and Eve, in the first perfection of creation, man never lost the love, faith, or anything else. God still loves man. God always is looking for a way to have a relationship with man. What Adam and Eve, humans lost was the image. They lost their position of authority. That's what they lost. The image of God, the righteousness of God, the glory of God, that was taken away when they decided to sin. They didn't lose faith or the love of God, because God still loved them and wanted always to have a communion. But they lost the right to govern here on earth. They lost the right to administrate all creation. That's what they lost. Therefore, the very first thing that God points in this new creation, this new DNA The new gene that we have is that we are put back into our position of righteousness before God. That's why Ephesians says, put on the new man, which was created according to God. The New Living Translation reads like this. Put on your new nature, created to be like God. Created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. When we are talking about righteousness, we are talking about integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting, just like God. Just like the foundation of his throne. And that's the very first thing that he gives us back through the Holy Spirit. Is in righteousness. That's our position now. In the new man, righteousness, our new position. It says that in holiness, that's the expression of righteousness. We cannot express true holiness if we don't understand that the new man in us, the gene of God is operating, and it says in truth, that's through the Holy Spirit. Only through the Holy Spirit. No, it can be produced by our own religion or religious efforts. Things that we do, it's impossible. It says right here, it's true, it's in the Spirit. It's not false. It's righteousness and holiness. So righteousness is our position. The holiness is the result, flows out of understanding that we have a new man, that we are being created now according to God by the Holy Spirit living in us. A gene basically is a group of a code of instructions that leads to the expression of an hereditary character. The DNA of the new man that we have in Christ is righteousness. All the codes through the Holy Spirit. So, the falling nature, the Adamic nature, took away that position, took absolutely that away. But the new nature in Christ puts back the righteousness of God. And therefore, we recover our original position. We recover the power and the authority for us as a children of God. So, righteousness is pointing first because man, as I say, didn't lose faith or love or anything else. They lost the position. They lost the image of God. That's why Ephesians says, you are now, through our new nature, put on your new nature that is like God. We were created, the Bible says, according to the image and likeness. So the image was the position of being right, the position of have that covenant with him, the position that we have and the right to have face to face communion with him. And the likeness is the expression of the characteristics of God, because even though Adam and Eve no longer could see God, they still express love and compassion. You know, a lot of people out there, all humans, we have that capacity to express patience, love, compassion. Why? Because that's the likeness of God in every human being, in everybody. But we lost the image, the righteousness, our position. We lost the kingdom. That's what we lost. That's why righteousness has the power to give us all that back if we understand kingdom. So, number three, righteousness is the main gene of our new nature. The new nature, the new man. A new creation can only be expressed through a new man that is born again, that can express the original DNA through the Holy Spirit, through the faith in Jesus. So righteousness is the main gene of our new nature. Let's Let's talk a little bit about how this was possible. Everybody being lost, apart from God, deserving punishment from a just king. How then is it is possible that we can come before God? And as we just read, receive the new man, the new put on, the new nature. Something had to be done about that, because as we read it, the foundation of the throne of God is righteousness and justice. He cannot deny that. Nobody, not even himself, could deny that man deserved punishment, because everybody has sinned. Yes or no? Yes, we all know that. So how is it possible that now we have a new nature, we have a new DNA, and we are restored back to our position before Him? It is really important to understand this, because then we're going to see how we can operate in our position of being right before God. Number four, righteousness and justice is an action of the king. He took the initiative to extend righteousness to us, to impart justice to us, to be satisfied for us, to satisfy the conditions to receive the new nature, the new creation. How this could happen? If He is rightful, it will be easy, because God created us according to His image and likeness to restore us back, because He's God. But that wouldn't be going against everything that He is, the foundation of His throne. That would be the occasion for Satan to accuse God of not being right. If he just says, okay, I love so much my creation that I'm just going to give them back their position. No, something had to be done about that to satisfy the righteousness of God. And so let's take a look on these conditions for us to receive and enjoy and now have a new nature, the nature of God through the Holy Spirit. On the Old Testament talks about redemption a lot. Redemption of people, redeeming property, redeeming animals, and even the redemption of a nation. So redemption has the meaning of rescue, deliver, ransom, recover what was lost. So there has to be a redemption of what was lost. The kingdom was lost. Humans, we lost the kingdom. We lost our rightful place to rule over the earth. We lost that position. It was a legal action what happened there on Eden. And therefore, now you know the story. Satan took over as the prince of the earth. But God had a plan, an eternal plan. When we talk about redemption, let's read this scripture from Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. The NLT reads, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. The righteousness through faith to all. Yes. For all. Even your enemies. Even that person that you know hates you. Even those that may be operating under the influence of the enemy. Even those, the Bible says, this scripture, that through faith in Jesus, to all and all, no difference. Everybody has a chance. Everybody has an opportunity to come and receive this righteousness, to be restored to the condition of how God created us in the beginning, through the faith in Jesus to all, that should put some burden on us, for our friends, our families, our neighbors, when we see they are walking apart from God. Christ died. Jesus died for them. It says here, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all. Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. So I'm going to talk about three terms here in these verses. Redemption, propitiation, and justification, working together. Verse 24 talks about being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. Justify, redemption. In verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood. And these three working together. Do we have the picture there? So I want us to see it to this triangle, the triangle of salvation, to really understand how these three elements that this scripture is teaching us has to work together in order for us to recover our position of righteousness. So if you see Jesus over your left working redemption, and the simple redemption means the price that He paid. Jesus redeemed us. He ransomed or purchased us as the price of His own blood. So redemption is what He did for us. Nothing that we can do about that. Out of His own initiative, Jesus was willing. And that points towards us, a Christian or any human being who wants to receive the grace of God, this gift of God. So redemption, the price, the purchase price of Christ, what He did, because His unfailing love toward us, because His willingness to obey the Father, He redeemed us. He paid a price. So that is working towards us. We have done nothing to deserve that. There's no action. There's no work that can earn that redemption. We cannot pay for that. That is the action of Jesus going to the cross. Then we see propitiation pointing towards God. And there's only one time on the New Testament that this word is used, and it is in this scripture on Ephesians. And what Paul is talking about here is what happened in the Old Testament, the propitiation, the atonement of the sins of all Israel once a year, when the priest went inside the Holy of Holies with a sacrifice, with the blood to pay the price. So propitiation here describes what Jesus Christ did for us in relation to the Father. You see the error pointing to the Father. He turns aside God's wrath against sin through His sacrifice of atonement. Verse 25. By taking our punishment on Himself, He satisfied God's justice. Basically, the substitution. There had to be a substitution because we deserve hell. We deserve the punishment, the wrath of God for our sins. And because God is just, He needed to do that. The wrath of God. And then there has to be a substitution. This is the idea of or the meaning of the propitiation. The substitution, the innocent, dying in the place of the guilty. You and I, everybody who wants to believe. basically God himself gave himself to save us from himself. God himself gave himself in the person of Jesus Christ to save us for himself. What? The wrath of God, because we deserve punishment. So therefore there's a propitiation, an atonement. Another translation says an expiation of our sins. And this is what was happening in the Old Testament. Basically, let me see if I can illustrate that to you. Let me use this chair. Right here. So every once a year, the priest will come with blood, the lamb that was sacrificed, that was pure. And let's say that this is the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? And the Ark of the Covenant was covered by a lid, or the propitiation, which was a slab of gold on top. That is the propitiation that this scripture is talking about. And there were two angels. I need two angels, Gregory and Jose. Two powerful angels. Help me, please. Stand right there. Stand right there. Looking this way. No, looking this way. Yeah. Looking that way. Put your angel face. Let me see. This looks like Gabriel who brought the good news, you know. I think Gregory looks like Michael, you know, who was the warrior, you know, that brought justice. So the Bible says that the Ark of the Covenant was there, the Ark and the propitiation, or the mercy seat, was a slab, a cover, a lid over the Ark of the Covenant. And the angels were with her wings extended. Extend your wings, please. And they were like touching a little more. Touching like that. Covering over the Ark of the Covenant. And the priest will come once a year with blood. And he will put the blood on top. And the blood will cover the mercy seat, which was the slab of gold. And God says that his presence will come down to the Ark of the Covenant, that place, the presence of God will descend from heaven. So when God will come down inside the Ark of the Covenant was the law. All the requirements that the people need to fulfill in order to be declared innocent, right? So God will come down to see in the middle of the two angels, to see down and have what he will see, the law. And then he will look at the people. And what do you think was the outcome of God seeing the law on the Ark of the Covenant? Declare everybody guilty. Because nobody could keep the law 100%, right? That was what should have happened. But the priest will come once a year walking, pour out the blood. The blood will cover the mercy seat or the slab of gold. And when God will come down, he couldn't see the law. He saw the blood that covered the sin of the whole nation. And he will declare them innocent. Innocent, free of any guilt. Therefore, he will receive blessing and not punishment. That's what we are talking about with the propitiation. God sees the blood of Jesus. And he extends then justification down to us. Thank you, guys. Powerful angels here. Then he will extend justification to us. And this justification describes the act of a judge in a court of law. Imagine in a court of law somebody being accused of something with all the evidence against that person, all the proof that he's guilty. and picture this judge coming in and declare him innocent. What do you think will all the people do? Saying, this judge is crazy. Get away with him. He's corrupt. How is he declaring this person innocent if there's all of this evidence that he committed all of these crimes, that he violated the law? Well, that's exactly what Jesus did. He declares innocence. Innocence. Not before paying a high price. His own life. Then God the extent. That's why the Bible says that on the cross, all the act, all the decrees against us were nailed down. All the accusations, all our sins, all our actions that offended God were nailed on the cross. This was an act of the core of heaven. God extending a certificate of being just and now putting us back in our position of righteousness before Him. Christ's redemptive and propitiatory work, God justifies those who put their trust in Him. Jesus paid a price for our salvation by dying in our place. In this way, God is just in justifying the ungodly. You see how He's strong, He's His foundation is righteousness and justice, so He cannot deny Himself. That's why, even though He still loves humanity, He still loves man, when we reject Him, when we reject this, the work of redemption, propitiation, and justification, He has to extend His verdict. When we willfully don't want to accept, when we harden our hearts, when people out there reject Jesus because He's rightful and just, there's still, the Bible says, a lot of people is going to receive punishment at the end of the age. Because why? He can't deny who He is. The foundation of all His actions are rightful. But now you and I, hallelujah, we are justified by faith. Verse 22. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It's by faith. So, in this picture, what you see us doing there? Absolutely nothing. Just being the recipients of God's love and mercy and justification. He providing for us. He is putting us back, giving us this new gene, that DNA, new creation. Hallelujah. Therefore, we need to understand, we need to receive the revelation that because all the things that He did, now we are back in our position of operate with righteousness in the justification through faith in Jesus. Only faith is required. Only recognize in our hearts that we have done wrong and repenting and turning away from our sins and receive His grace. Receive that justification and being again, one more time, declared innocent. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Hallelujah. This is the place where somebody says, hallelujah. God is good. God is good. If the worship team wants to get ready to come up, we are going to partake communion. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. We have a new DNA through the Holy Spirit. We are being declared right before God. The blood of Jesus cleanses us of all of our sins. Let me finish with reading this scripture. Romans 8. Romans 8, 29. Jesus died on the cross. And we just read that we receive this gift of righteousness freely. But it wasn't free. Somebody had to pay, purchase us back. Jesus did that. He died for you and I and the whole humanity. We just read it. For all. It is for all. And we, by faith, we receive this gift. So, I think until this point, we all understand already this. That we are forgiven. That we are justified. Now what? Now what we do with all of this? When we understand that, again, God gave us His DNA. His righteousness. How we work this out. What is this mean for us? Romans 8:29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, this He also called. Whom He called, this He also justified. And whom He justified, this He also glorified. In His eternal purpose, God chose you. He justified you. He conformed you to the image of His Son Jesus. And He deposited in you His glory. He deposited in you His glory. This scripture says. You know what glory means? This word specific is the word doxa. That means to make glorious, adorned with justice, clothed with splendor. Means to impart glory to something, render it excellent, to make renowned, render illustrious, to cause the dignity and worth of some person or thing to become manifest and acknowledged. To cause the dignity and worth of some person or thing. His glory in you. His glory in me. You are not just a forgiven sinner. And I believe a religious mindset had taught us that. And we are walking as a Christians not in the fullness of the revelation of what God really did for us. We just read that we are a new man, new creation. God lied because He deposited in us His DNA through the Holy Spirit. And all of this is by faith. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything but just to believe that Jesus did it on the cross for us. Let me read it again. Moreover, whom He predestined, this also called. Whom He called, this He also justified. And whom He justified, this He also glorified. The NLT says, and having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them the right standing with God. And having given them right standing, He gave them His glory, His presence. Don't walk in life, not knowing who you are. We are being justified. We have the DNA of heaven. And it's not the glorified is not talking about our eternal body with Him. No. Now. Now we have it. Now. Now it's for us. It's for us to experience. To walk like this. To walk like this in the nature, in the love of God. Through the Holy Spirit. You are worth something. No, not something. You are worth God. Because He gave Himself. He came down from heaven in a human body. All God, all His divinity. But He decided to come down in a human person. And in that condition, being God on the flesh, die for you and me. Next week, I'm going to talk about how to operate in this position of righteousness so we can start having victories and breakthroughs. Because you are worth, according to the scripture. Don't walk with the shame of sin or anything. Jesus paid a price for you to walk in victory. That's who you are. A new creation. He chose you. Justify you, meaning you have the right standing with God to operate now as the original design. To rule. Yes, to administrate the things of God here on earth. He deposited His glory, this scripture says, in you. In you. It hurts me to see brothers and sisters not having this revelation and walking in shame, bound by the lies of Satan, not knowing who they are in Christ. Let's stand on our feet. Couple elders, please, to come and help me. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. You choose me, justify me, conform me, and glorify me in Christ. To make glorious means this. Clothed with splendor. We read it. Put on the new man. It's like a new clothing that you need to walk. Being a son of God. Hallelujah. So as we come to partake of the communion, let's think of the sacrifice. Let's remember Jesus, that He paid the price. Can you put the triangle again? Look at this. Look at that. And God is looking at you and He sees the blood of Jesus. He sees you without guilt. So as we come to partake of the communion, thank Him. Thank Him. If you need to repent of any sin, anything, He paid the price. He's just to forgive us. The scripture says again, these terms of righteousness and justice on the Bible, on the scripture, are just mentioned many, many times. I just think that sometimes we don't have the whole revelation of what this means. Let's thank Jesus. Let's love Him as we come and says, thank you, thank you, thank you. You paid the price. Now I'm innocent. Even if you just sinned this morning before you came to church, He's just and merciful to extend His love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to serve the elders and please start coming. As you are ready, please come and partake of the communion. And we're going to close the service this way. Come, thank Him. And go out of this place. Clothed with your new nature. Hallelujah. The glory of God shine for Him out there. Be blessed. We are going to officially close like this. And we're going to keep worship the Lord for a few minutes. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God. who is king and reign forever, who is sitting in his throne, from his throne, and through the work of Jesus, extend to you and I, to all who by faith receive this, his righteousness. Given us back our position, the position that he wants us to have, to operate under that platform, to walk like that. Hallelujah. He's good. The blood gives us victory. Let's walk in victory, the victory of Jesus. He wants to touch your life, meet every need, heal your body right now. The work is complete, it's done. Will you receive it right now by faith? And go out of this place clothed with righteousness, the righteousness of God in you, seeking Him, His purpose, hallelujah, for us as individuals and as a church, great and mighty things He had prepared for us. Yes, let's operate in our position of being justified right before God. Thanks for coming. Be blessed. If you want to stay for a little bit, we'll keep praying and worshiping Him. And if you need prayer, if you want to respond to Him, keep receiving. Keep receiving. He's here. Amen. I'm going to be preaching in another church this afternoon in Spanish though. It's Peoria. So I appreciate your prayers. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Let the glory of God shine in you and through you. We have it. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Receive your freedom. Manifest that freedom. Impart it to somebody. Give people this revelation. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Smile. God love you. If you keep worshiping Him for a few more minutes, be blessed. Amen.